بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی النبی الکریم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. The title for the present talk is Muslims, a reassessment. Muslims, a reassessment. This title is derived from a hadith. The Prophet of Islam has said, "Inna Allah yabasu علا راس کل میت سنتن من یجدد لہا دینہ. God will send a person on the completion of every 100 years who will revive the Muslim Ummah. This teaching is not based on any kind of mystery. There is no mysterious element in this hadith. It is according to the law of nature. Degeneration is a part of nature. Degeneration. So in every community occurs degeneration, and Muslim Ummah is not an exception. So it is this degeneration that requires a revival, return to the past. So the Prophet of Islam has said that it requires a 100-yearly revision. It is a 100-yearly revive to recorrect the path of the Muslim Ummah. Due to degeneration, Muslims are bound to deviate the Sirat-e-Mustaqim, the right path. So it requires redirect their path. It requires to reassess, to revise and recorrect their path. It is this law of nature that is mentioned in the hadith. So I have adopted this caption, Muslims, a reassessment, I've derived this concept from this hadith. Then I would like to mention a very relevant hadith. Another hadith that is very relevant to our talk, to our discussion. You know, the Prophet of Islam was born in Mecca in 570 AD, and he died in 632. So after his death, during his final days, he gave us a very important direction. This hadith is narrated by Al-Muwatta. Al-Muwatta Imam Malik. So in this hadith, the Prophet of Islam has said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْن لَن تَزِلُّ مَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةَ نَبِيِّهِ. It means that I am leaving with you two important things, Quran and Hadith, and you will never be astray, you will never go astray until you follow these two sources of guidance. So you know, Quran is book of ideology. Quran gives us the teachings of Islam, the ideology of Islam, the theory of Islam, and Prophet gives us a model. The life of the Prophet is a practical model of Islamic ideology. So we have these two things, ideology as well as practical model. So by this hadith we find a criterion, a method, how to reassess the Muslim affairs, how to revise Muslims. So we have to revise Muslims in the light of these two things, Quran and Sunnah. Every time we have to reapply the Quranic teachings and the practice of the Prophet of Islam. So it is a kind of reapplication. So it is a required by reformers, by Islamic scholars. You can say that it is a 100-yearly review of Muslims. 100-yearly review of Muslim Ummah. So today I would like to give some detail in our age, that is 20th century, Muslim Ummah faced two great problems. According to their thinking, I don't think that these are great problems. According to my assessment, internal problems are great problems, not the external problems. In that internal problem means deterioration in taqwa, in iman, in faith. That is the great problem. But according to masses, they take external problems as great problems. So according to their thinking, in 20th century, Muslim faced two great problems. In the Arab area, it was Palestine issue. And in Indian subcontinent, it was Kashmir. The time of beginning was perhaps same, that is 1948. Both the problem started in almost in 1948. So what happened? All the Muslims involved in militancy. Some Muslims engaged themselves in practical sense, and other Muslims in other Muslims although those Muslims who involved themselves practically, they were not very large numbers. But other Muslims accepted it as the right action. So the whole Muslim Ummah endorsed this kind of action in both the places, in Palestine and Kashmir. Muslims engaged in militancy, that is armed struggle. And all the other Muslims endorsed their action. Perhaps I was the only exception in the Muslim world who was against this kind of militancy. So, now after 60 years, we find the whole plan flopped. Muslims achieved nothing. It was completely a loss. Loss of money, loss of lives. Everything was lost without any gain. So we have to reassess why it happened. Although there is a verse in the Quran, Antumul alon in kuntum mu'minin, qataful hal mu'minun. The Muslims are bound to gain success. So why this happened? That after 60 years of struggle, Muslims are facing nothing but loss in terms of money, in terms of life. They sacrificed everything on these two fronts, but they failed completely because they deviated from the path of the Prophet. It was a case of deviation rather than case of following. So, this is a case, and we have to apply the Prophet's hadith on this case. Here I would like to refer a well-known hadith from Al-Bukhari. There is a hadith narrated by Aisha. In this hadith, we find the general policy of the Prophet of Islam. In this hadith, we find the general policy of the Prophet of Islam. This hadith says, Ma khuyyara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bayna amrain illa akhtara aysarahuma. Whenever the Prophet had to choose between the two, he always opted for easier course of action rather than harder course of action. This was the general policy of the Prophet of Islam. Now, apply this principle on both these cases. In Palestine and in Kashmir, at both the places, there were two kinds of opportunities. In a peaceful activism and violent activism, in both the places. In Palestine and in Kashmir, at both the places, there were opportunities, both the opportunities, they were free to adopt peaceful method as well as they were free to adopt violent method at both the places. But Muslims adopted armed struggle, that is violent activism, in Palestine as well as in Kashmir. It was clear deviation from the prophetic path. The door were open for peaceful activism at both the places. There was no hindrance at all. So Muslims must have followed the peaceful activism in Palestine as well in Kashmir, but under the wrong leadership, under wrong guidance, they adopted violent activism, that is armed struggle. It was completely a deviation from the prophetic path. So it failed. That it was doomed to failure from the beginning. This is what I call reassessment. We have to reassess the whole situation. We have to reassess our past and we have to reassess our present in the light of Quran and in the light of Sunnah. This is application of that hadith, that taraktu fikum amrain lan tadillu ma tamassaktum bihima kitabullah wa sunnata nabiyyih. I am leaving two important things for you, Quran and Hadith, Quran and Sunnah, and you will never go astray until you follow them. So in this case, you find that Muslims fail to follow the path of the path given to them by the Prophet. It's a clear example. When the option for peace was open, so why they opted for violence? Why? It was sin. It was crime. It was deviation. It was inhiraf. It is a fact that at the both places, they are free to adopt for both the method, peace and violence, but they failed to adopt peaceful activism and they adopted violent activism. And this kind of behavior was doomed to failure. Then I would like to give you one more example. Now, everywhere in the world, Muslims are speaking in terms of enmity. Everyone, excluding myself, speaks the language of enmity. They say, America is the enemy number one of Islam. Israel is the enemy number one of Islam. Hindus are enemy number one of Islam. So all the world is enemy of Islam. all the world is enemy of Islam. Why? They have no reason. What happened that Muslims faced some kind of trouble, some kind of problem, some kind of atrocities from other communities, so they declared they are enemy of Islam. This language was never used by the Prophet of Islam. You see, when Prophet started his mission in Mecca in 610 AD, the tribe of Quraysh was in a leading position. They were the leader of Mecca, not only Mecca but leader of Arabia. So they turned hostile. They became enemy in the language of modern Muslims. But Prophet never said that Quraysh are enemy number one of Islam. Never. When they inflicted so many troubles and Prophet, even they wanted to kill the Prophet. So Prophet was compelled to leave Mecca. So he migrated Mecca and he settled in Medina. But he never spoke this language, that Meccan people are enemy number one of Islam. Never, never, never. Present Muslims always say that America, Aduwul Islam, Rakam Wahid. Arab people say that America, Aduwul Islam, Rakam Wahid. Other Muslims say America is enemy number one of Islam. But Prophet of Islam never said like this. He never said that Mecca is enemy number one of Islam or Quraysh are enemy number one of Islam. Even he never uttered any sentence against those people. When he reached Mecca and he delivered his first speech, this speech you can read in the Sirat Ibn Hisham. This speech is mentioned in this book, Sirat Ibn Hisham, which is authentic book on Sirah. أَوَّلُ خُطْبَةٍ خَطَبَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. The first speech delivered by the Prophet of Islam in Medina. So in this speech he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمَرَ. O people, save yourself from the hellfire at any cost. And you see, in our present days, all the Muslim speakers, all the Muslim writers are engaged to declare the conspiracies of other nations, conspiracies, enmities of other nations. All Muslim papers, all Muslim magazines, all Muslim meetings are speaking this language. Everywhere in the world. So all the Muslims became negative. All the Muslims are living in hate. Hate against America, hate against Jews, hate against Christians, hate against Hindus. Because every Muslim magazine, every Muslim paper, every Muslim stage, every Muslim meeting, tell Muslims that they are engaged in conspiracy against Islam, they are engaged in enmity against Islam. So, after hearing and listening and reading these kinds of speeches and articles, Muslim became negative. All the Muslims, except those who are with us in this mission. Our mission is the only exception in the world. Otherwise, Muslims are living in hate, in negativity. But Prophet of Islam never used such language. Prophet of Islam was living in positivity. His heart was full of sympathy, full of positive thinking, full of compassion. So compare this. Present Muslims, the heart of present Muslims are filled with hate and negativity. While the heart of the Prophet of Islam was filled with compassion, with positivity, with love. So present state of affairs we see among Muslims is quite wrong, baseless, un-Islamic. Muslims must correct it. Muslims must admit that they deviated from the path of the Prophet. They must eradicate all those negativity from their heart. They must reassess, they must revise their present situation. So this is what Prophet Islam directed us, that I am leaving with you two things, Quran and Sunnah, and you have to reassess and you have to reapply, you have to compare your life from Quran and Hadith. Muslims must compare their practices. Muslims must compare their policy and find the true picture of Islam in the Quran and Sunnah, and must apply it in your life. Then, if you attend any Muslim meeting, if you read Muslim papers, you will find that every time Muslims blame others. Their formula is blame others. But what was the formula of Quran and Hadith? I will cite two instances. During the Prophet of Islam, there were two ghazwa, two battles, that is ghazwa Uhud or ghazwa Hunain. In these two ghazwa or in these two battles, Muslims suffered a lot, L-O-T. In both these ghazwa, Uhud and Hunain, Muslims suffered. There were losses of life and other kind of losses. So both these ghazwa occurred after aggression. This was result of aggression, of attack. That is, Meccan people attacked. Then there was Hunayn, then there was Uhud. So it was clearly a case of aggression. So Hunayn and Uhud both were clearly a case of aggression. But what happened? When Quran, Quran mentions both the events, but the Quranic language is quite different about Uhud. Quran says, حتى إذا فشلتم وتنازعتم في الأمر It means that your losses was a result of your own weakness, that you disputed, that you indulged in disputes and you disobeyed the order. So here you can see that Quran mentions internal fault, internal weakness. So Quran invites introspection. These verses of Quran invites Muslims to go to introspection. That see that you indulge in dispute, you disobey the order. So happened this defeat. So you suffered these losses. Then see the Hunayn. Quran says about Hunayn, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَسْرَتُكُمْ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَسْرَتُكُمْ It means that on the day of Hunayn, you became proud of your number. On the day of Hunayn, you became proud of your number. This was the reason of those losses. So Quran, here you can see, the Quran is blaming Muslims themselves. Quran invites Muslims to go to introspection. In the both cases, the formula of Quran is blame yourself. In the both cases, the formula given by the Quran is blame yourself. But you see, what are Muslim doing at present? They have adopted the formula blame others. In every occasion, in every event, in every time, they always, without any exception, blame others, except myself. I always follow this formula, this Quranic formula. But all the Muslims throughout the world have adopted the formula, blame others. So this is clear deviation from the path of the Quran. So this is a case of revival of Islam. This is a case of revisionism, case of reassessment. Muslim must confess that they deviated from the right path. The Quranic principle was to go to introspection. But in contrary, we tried to blame others. And what happened? Muslims are living in loss. Muslims gain nothing by adopting this policy. Muslims gain nothing. So in this policy also Muslims must admit that their policy was that their policy to blame others was wrong. They must blame themselves. They must go to introspection. They must find their own fault. It is very clear in the Quran that لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Then there is another verse that what happened due to their own fault. Bima kasabat aydikum. Bima kasabat aydikum. What happened due to your own fault, due to your own shortcoming. So this is the criterion. So we must reassess, we must revise. The time is now, it is time of reassessment, but not we need no reassessment in the Quran. As far as the Quran and Sunnah is concerned, there is no need of reassessment. Quran is an eternal truth and Sunnah is eternal model. Quran is a book of God. Quran is a preserved book of God. So, Quranic ideology, Quranic teachings are eternally true. There is no need to revise Quran. And also, the model of the Prophet of Islam, the practical example of the Prophet of Islam, is relevant in all the times. It is relevant in all the times. There is no need to revise in it. But Muslims must revise themselves. Muslims reassess themselves. Muslims admit their own fault. So the reason is here. These examples are very clear. Very, very clear. There is no ambiguity. There is no ambiguity. But if you see present Muslims, you will find that they are reluctant to adopt this policy of the Quran. They are reluctant. Although it is very clear in the Quran, in the Sunnah, but present Muslims are reluctant to follow this pattern. This reminds me a hadith. The Prophet of Islam has said, بَدَا الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَا. In the beginning, Islam was a stranger. In the beginning, Islam was a stranger. And in later days, again Islam will become a stranger. At the beginning, Islam was a stranger. And in later days, again Islam will become a stranger. So this hadith explains the present situation. Although these teachings are very clear in the Quran, but Muslims are reluctant. What Muslims have adopted that was bid'ah, innovation. What is bid'ah? Bid'ah is innovation. That is deviation from the right path. Every deviation is bid'ah. The Prophet of Islam has said, Man ahdasa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa raddun. Any kind of innovation in our religion is rejected, is liable to be rejected. So all those things that Muslims are following by the way of deviation, that is bid'ah or innovation. So it is liable to be rejected. Then then I will give you another example. In every Muslim country, there are movements against the rulers, against their rulers. In every country, there are violent movements against their rulers. The recent example was the episode of Lal Masjid of Islamabad. So, almost in every Muslim country, there are violent movement against their rulers. This is called in Islamic literature khuruj. Khuruj means revolt. So all these movements are khuruj, that is revolt. And you know, Prophet of Islam has issued clear directions that khuruj is haram. Don't go to khuruj. Don't go to revolt against your Muslim rulers. Here I would like to refer Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim is a well-known book of hadith, and Al-Imam Nawawi has interpreted these hadith. It is a well-known interpretation of hadith. Imam Nawawi was a great scholar. So, under the Kitabul Fitan, in every book of hadith there are Kitabul Fitan, a chapter of Fitan. In these chapters, there are a number of hadith that tell us that don't go to revolt against your rulers. Because this kind of revolt results only in anarchy, in fasad. So you have to follow strictly the peaceful path rather than violent path. Revolt is adopting violent path. It is haram in Islam. So you have to follow the right path. So by in his commentary, Imam Nawawi says that if you have any objection against your ruler, so there is no way for you except to go to peaceful advice. فَفِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ. You must meet him and you have to convey your ideas in person-to-person talk. No demonstration is allowed in Islam. No revolt is allowed in Islam. No demonstration, no revolt, no violent activism against your rulers. فَفِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ. Then he says, وَأَمَّا الْخُرُوجُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then Imam Nawawi says, according to the hadith, وَأَمَّا الْخُرُوجُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَحْرَامٌ بِإِجْمَاعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا فَسَقَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ. And as far as the revolt is concerned, so it is haram in Islam. Even if you think that your ruler is bad ruler, your ruler is a zalim ruler, no excuse whatsoever allow you to go to adopt the path of revolt. So according to these hadiths, if you find that your ruler is not a just ruler, your ruler is committing injustice, so you have to discuss the matter in peace. You have to give him advice. That's all. Any kind of demonstration is haram in Islam. Any kind of revolt is haram in Islam. Any kind of armed struggle is haram in Islam. But you see, in every Muslim countries, Muslims are engaged in this kind of politics. This is not allowed in Islam. It is based on a great wisdom. Great wisdom. That is, من حسن اسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. It means that you have to see the result. Your action must be subjected to result. If positive result is, if it is possible to gain positive result, then you can go to action. Otherwise, no. So in all these Muslim countries, you can see that this kind of policy has resulted only in negative result. In all the Muslim countries, the recent example is Pakistan, that Lal Masjid was a center of violent activism against their rulers, and there was bloodshed. So many Muslims were killed. You know what Quran says about killing? Quran says that man qatala nafsan baghayr nafsin wa fasadin fa kanama qatala an-nas jamia. If you kill a single person, you have killed all the humanity. Killing a single person is like killing all the humanity, all mankind. Then the Quran says, Man qatala mu'minan mutaammidan fajazaahu jahannam. One who kills a Muslim intentionally, he will go to hell. Man qatala mu'minan mutaammidan fajazaahu jahannam. This is a verse of Quran. One who kills a Muslim intentionally, he will go to hell. But you see, in every Muslim country, they are killing. Muslims are killing Muslims. In every Muslim country, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and in Iraq, almost in every country, Muslims are killing Muslims. On the basis of some false excuses. And no excuse is acceptable whatsoever. No excuse whatsoever is acceptable in this matter. Muslims are not allowed to go to bloodshed, to go to armed struggle. Only peaceful struggle is allowed for Muslims. This is the Quranic teachings, and this is the prophetic model. I have met some Arab people in Palestine. I said, why you are engaged in this kind of violence? You know, what is their slogan? The slogan of these Palestinian Arabs is, Halumma nuqatil, halumma nuqatil, fa'innal qatala sabiru rashadi. Let us make war. For war is the way to success. I said, why you are opted for war? Why you are opted for violence? They said, yes, we want peace. We want peace. But we want As-Salaam Maal Adil. As-Salaam Maal Adil means peace with justice. Peace with justice. So they said that give us justice and we will abandon violence. I said, you are wrong. Prophet of Islam agreed on peace agreement in Hudaybiyah without any justice. Prophet never achieved any justice, but he agreed on peace. He signed on peace treaty. So Hudaybiyah example tells us that peace for the sake of peace is Islamic formula. Islamic formula is peace for the sake of peace. It is not Islamic formula that peace for the sake of justice. This is not Islamic formula. Everyone can study the Hudaybiyah affair and he will find that when Prophet signed at the Hudaybiyah treaty, when Prophet signed the peace treaty at Hudaybiyah, he never achieved any kind of justice. He achieved only peace. So Islamic formula is peace for the sake of peace and not peace for the sake of justice. So I said that justice is not part of peace. Justice is not a part of the peace. In fact, peace opens the door of opportunities. Peace gives you opportunity and not justice. Peace gives you opportunity to work and not justice. So justice is not a direct part of peace. Peace opens all kind of opportunities, and by availing these opportunities, you can achieve justice. So this is the formula. First of all, you have to establish peace so that you find opportunities. And by availing these opportunities, you can achieve justice. This is the Islamic formula. So all these people have deviated from the path of Islam. When they say that Aslam wal Adl, or peace with justice, they are deviating from the Islamic path. So this is the present situation. Then these Muslims say in Arab and in other part of the world that then what to do? We have no option other than to go to fighting. I said no. The other option is patience, sabr. If your action results into negativity, if your armed struggle gives you negative result, then you have to abandon armed struggle and you have to keep patience. That is sabr. So for you, sabr is the option and not useless fighting. But all the Muslims are engaged in this useless fighting. Destructive fightings. So in such a situation, when you cannot achieve any positive result by adopting fighting or armed struggle, you have to adopt sabr. That is patience. You have to adopt sabr, iraz, patience and avoidance. Though in such a situation, sabr is the option and not war. This is the true path of Quran and this is the true path of Hadith and Sunnah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أجمعين